international anti-corruption convention and the jurisdiction. India is active participants in the cross-border fight against the corruption and has signed and ratified the United Nations Convention against the corruption. The purpose of the convention includes, number one, prompting and strengthening the measures to prevent and combat the corruption efficiently and effectively. Number two, strengthening the internal cooperation and technical assistance to check and fight the corruption and promote the integrity, accountability and the proper management of the public affair and the property. India is an executive member, committee member of the International Association for Anti-Corruption Authorities, and it is also actively involved with the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development in its anti-corruption initiative for Asia Pacific. These are some of the regulations. In respect of enforcement, what is the regulations? Enforcement directorate are given an authority to investigate certain matters which are fraudulently committed by the people in order to detect the corruption or improper practices which are adopted. The Central Vigilance Commission and other state vigilance commissions have, among the other things, and they have power by constitution to summon and enforce the attendance of any person, examination or examine on oath, order discovery and production of the document, receive the evidence on affidavit, requisition public record, issue of commissions, conduct surprise inspections. The CBI and the police officers have the powers to arrest the person if they reasonably suspect that the person is guilty of offenses under the Prevention of Corruption Act. About the insider dealing and the market abuse, regulatory provision and the authorities consist of the SEBI, who prohibits the insider trading. Insider must not directly or indirectly deal in securities of a listed company when the possession of published price sensitive information. An insider is any person who is connected with the company and expected to have an access to unpublished price sensitive information in relating to the company's securities. Prosecutions for insider trading and securities are launched by SEBI, Securities and Exchange Board of India. The SEBI Prohibition Acts 1992 have been framed under Section 30 of SEBI Act and are intended to prevent and curb the insider trading. These are the act about insider trading. Under this act, the offenses may be created, such as insider trading can be committed by three ways. Normally, it is identified. One, dealing in securities in the price of which it will be affected by the inside information, and that is the in case of the personal possession. Suppose any good event is going to happen in the office, and any office bearer or employee of the office is holding the securities, and when he comes to know after 2 days there will be announcement in the price, he may buy at low rate certain securities, and after 2 days he may sell at very much on higher rate, because, and by doing so, by leaking the internal information, he is trying to get the benefit out of it. Such kind of activity is also covered under the insider trading. Encouraging the another person to deal in such securities, and third one, disclosing the inside information to another person. So these acts are the offenses as far as SEBI Act is concerned. Now what is the defense for this? Defense is available to a company dealing in securities for another company while possession of any unpublished or price sensitive information, if cumulatively. The decision to enter into the transaction or agreement was taken on its behalf by a person. The company has put in place such a system and procedures that the democratic activities, demarcated activities of the company who enters into a transaction in securities on behalf of the company which cannot have an access to the information that is in possession of other offenses also. The company had an operation at the time. The arrangements that could reasonably be expected to ensure that information was not communicated by them officially, but somebody else from the inside the office have leaked the information. The information was not communicated and no relevant advice was given by the company. They have to prove it, but that acquisition of the shares of the listed company is in as per the Securities and Exchange Board of India. These are the defenses available to the company. If it is enforced under the law, what is the provision? SEBI has the powers to civil courts and such as ordering discovery and production of the books of account, summoning to the enforcing and attendance of the person and examining the inspection of the books. They can call for the register and the other documents and issuing the commission for the examination of witness and documents. In addition to that, SEBI has a power to suspend the trading of any security in a recognized stock exchange if they observe that something is wrong happening with the particular company. Restrain the person from accessing the securities market and prohibits any person associated with the securities market from buying and selling of dealing securities. The person who does this act, SEBI has a power to suspend or bar him for doing any trading to the stock exchange. Suspend an office bearer of any stock exchange or self-regulatory organization from holding such position. Impound and retain the proceeds of the securities in respect of any transaction that is under investigation. Direct any intermediary or any person associated with the securities market in any manner not to disclose of any alienate any assets forming part of the transaction that is under investigation. And appoint one or more officers to inspect the books of accounts and records which is used for the insider trading, and appoint a qualified auditor and investigate into the books of account of the affair of the insider company, insider trading which is done by the person, company or entity. So these are the law under the SEBI law. This way they can enforce the person. Now coming to the money laundering and the terrorist financing. Money laundering and terrorist financing is normally happen in international transactions, inflow or outflow of the transactions. Regulatory provision in this case is Prevention of Money Laundering Act 2002, which is passed by the Parliament. Under this, Money Laundering 2005 imposed an obligation on the banking companies, financial institutions and intermediaries to verify and identify identity of the investor and maintain the record of transaction with each investor. The Unlawful Activities Prevention Act deals with the terrorism and combating the terrorist financing. RBI issued the KYC guidelines to the banks to observe the standard, AML standard, under which banks are advised to follow certain customer identification process, which we have already discussed in earlier chapters, CIP, customer identification process, that KYC, under the KYC when we were discussing about, then procedure for opening the accounts and monitoring the transaction of the suspicious nature and reporting it to the appropriate authority provision is also we have discussed as per that policy. Government has established a central national agency called as Financial Institution Intelligence Unit, that is called FIU. If it is in India, when it is in India, that is IND word is used. Responsible for receiving and processing the analyzing and dissemination of information relating to the suspect financial transactions. When bank reports, when any irregularity or irregular transaction is happening and this bank suspects that something is going wrong, then in that, as per this law, PMLA Act, they are required to report this transaction to FIUIND, that is Financial Intelligence Unit, and there is a provision of online reporting also. When they observe that something wrong has happened in particular transaction, though they are not the authority to prohibit the transactions, in the hands of the banks, there is only provision for reporting this kind of transactions to the FIUIND. Under Money Laundering Act, what are the offenses normally undertaken by the culprits or maybe persons? Money laundering consists of directly or indirectly knowingly assisting and being a part of actually involved in the process or activity connected with the proceeds of the crime and prevention of legally obtained and presentation of it as a legally obtained property. Money which is received through illegal way, even if money is utilized for procuring certain property, both property as well as the person who is involved in committing such kind of offenses is responsible for treating under, it is considered as an offense and he will be officially prosecuted under the PMLA Act. Money laundering is an offense only if it is related to an activity connected with the proceeds of the crime. Proceeds of the crime means for doing the crime or after criminally if something has got and it is routed through the banking channel or any property is dealt with through those criminal proceeds, then in that it can be considered as an offense. And unlawful activities deals with the terrorism and terrorist financing. These activities are also covered under the offenses. What is the defense available to the person? There are no exemption or qualification applicable for such kind of offenses. No one can defend it. When offense is committed, it is committed and it should be prosecuted by the law. How to enforce it? The authority. The investigation can be initiated only by the authority designated by the central government, such as the Director of Enforcement. These authorities can carry out an interim measure such as the survey, search, seizure and arrest of the person or arrest of the accused who has undertaken these money laundering activities or terrorist financing activities. The Prevention of Money Laundering Act gives a requirement for financial institution disclosure requirement in relation to reportable transactions, confiscation of the proceeds of the crime, declaring the money laundering as an extraditable offense, promoting an international cooperation in investigation of money laundering. Unlawful Activity Prevention Act provides for the following sanctions. What are unlawful activities? Money laundering we have seen, but what is the unlawful activities? There also we have seen. What are the unlawful activities? Unlawful activity means the individual who takes part or commit a commission of unlawful activity face an imprisonment for up to 7 years and a fine. In addition, individuals who assist in any unlawful activities face an imprisonment up to 5 years and thereafter a fine. Under money laundering, these are the activities covered for which this is the fine which is provided in the law. Terrorist activities, the sanction applies are terrorist act that result into the death or punishable with a death or life imprisonment. Other cases range from 5 years to life imprisonment. Raising the funds for terrorist activity and conspiracy imprisonment for the 5 years and the lifetime and the fine. Harboring the terrorist for this kind of activity, imprisonment for 3 years is provided. Membership of terrorist organization, then it is the life imprisonment and the fine. Holding the proceeds of the terrorism, if this is the act, then life imprisonment and the fine. And these sanctions apply to both individuals as well as corporate bodies. Financial record keeping. It's a very tough area, financial record keeping, because ultimately the responsibility falls on the banks. Banks and financial institution and the intermediaries must maintain a record detailing the nature of value of the prescribed transaction, furnish the information on prescribed transactions under the Prevention of Money Laundering Act, verify and maintain the records of the identity of all these clients. Records must maintain for 10 years after the transaction is concluded. So all this is the responsibility of banks, intermediaries and financial institutions. Every banking company or the financial institution must maintain a record of, say, cash transactions for more than ₹1 million or its equivalent in the foreign currency. Series of cash transactions integrally connected to each other that have been valued below ₹1 million or its equivalent in foreign currency, where such series of transactions have been taken place within a month. So within a 1 month, up to ₹1 million, if anything is happening in one particular account, then in that case, the record must be maintained for 10 years. Cash transaction where the forged or counterfeit currency notes or the bank notes have been used as a genuine one and where any forgery or valuable security has been taken place. Then the suspicious transaction, whether or not made in cash or not, that also can be for that transaction also record is required to be maintained by the bank. What is the due diligence to avoid such transactions? What is the due diligence measures that bank and financial institution or intermediary should put in place? Banks are required to undertake the customer due diligence, that is CDD, depending upon the type of customers, business relationship and the transaction. Obtaining the sufficient information in order to identify the person who beneficially owner of the controlled security account, that also needs to be preserved by banks. Verify the customer's identity using the reliable source. Then independent source of document, data or information required to be preserved. Identifying the beneficial ownership of the control. that is determining which individual ultimately has finally got the funds and the customers and the person on whose behalf the transaction is being conducted. So record for these activities required to be maintained by the banks, financial institution and intermediary bodies. Verifying the identity of the beneficial owner of the customer and other person on whose behalf the transaction is being conducted, corroborating the other information. Similarly, conducting ongoing due diligence security is expected from the banks, financial institution and intermediaries. That is performing an ongoing scrutiny of the transaction, ongoing, on ongoing basis, not one-time basis. And account throughout the business relationship to ensure that the transaction is being conducted in consistent with and registered intermediaries' knowledge of the customer, it is business and the risk profile, the taking into account where the necessary and the customer source of funds are identified, and such kind of record is also required to be maintained for not less than 10 years. Now looking into the cross-border cooperation. Cross-border means across the states or union territories or across the boundaries of the country. During the course of your investigation by the investigating authorities into offenses, the evidence is available and that has to be made a record and make it available to the investigating authorities. Examine any person acquainted with the facts and circumstances of the cases and record his statements which is required, such as person or any other person, to produce any document or things that may be in his possession pertaining to the cases. Forward all the evidence to the court with the issuing letters. Another act is seizing the assets. Many times it may not happen that you are aware that what is the source of funds, but how it is utilized, that is called the end use of the funds, that is more important. In this case, seizing the assets is also provided in the law. In India, if any court has a reasonable ground to believe that the property has been obtained by committing an offense, it can make an order of attachment or forfeiture of such property under the provisions of Criminal Proceedings Act. The court can issue a letter of request to any authority or a court of contracting state for execution of such order, that is court order. India has also entered into the mutual and the legal assistance in the territories of the assets recovery with many jurisdictions, which may include the United States, then UK and UAE. See, everything happens, every activities of the person who is unlawfully undertaking, though there are several laws in place, the crime is not reducing. Frauds are not reducing. They are always increasing. Now, when any bankers, financial institution or anybody who come to know that certain things are happening here, he has to give an alert to his staff and concerned authorities. Anything happen untoward, in respect of the money laundering, in respect of the fraud, in respect of the forgery or misutilization of certain funds of the bank or misutilization or misappropriation of any securities. For that, the act when it comes to know prior to happening of certain events is called as a whistleblowing. The law relating to the whistleblowing is fairly recent one, and Parliament has passed the public interest, the disclosure and the protection to the persons who are making the disclosure of the bill 2010 on 27 December 2011. The bill aims to set up a regular mechanism for encouraging the person to disclose the information on corruption or willful misuse of the power by the public servants, including ministers also. It also aims at providing the adequate protection to the person reporting the corruption or willful misuse of the discretion that causes the demonstrable losses to the government or commission of the criminal offences by the public servant. The Companies Act 2013 has been passed by Parliament. Among the other things, the Act provides for the self-regulatory mechanism to conduct the corruption. It also provides for the stringent compliance of the provision. At the end of this chapter, I would like to give some details about the regulatory authorities, their addresses, their email addresses, which can be useful for the useful by the branch managers to report certain instances if anything happened, and how to classify the instances. For example, if you see the CBI email ID is given or a website is given, then in that case it is mentioned that it is a government organization and their principal responsibilities that CBI normally investigate and prosecutes the cases of serious fraud or cheating that may have been ramification in more than one state. It also investigates the corruption cases. Similarly, Serious Fraud Investigation Office, government organization, and their responsibility is multidisciplinary organization under Ministry of Corporate Affairs. It detects and prosecutes the recommends the prosecution of whistleblower, white collar crime and frauds. CVC, as I said, they are doing the supervision for the corruption cases in the government. Similarly, Central Economic Central Intelligence Unit, that is CBI, they also deal with, monitor the economic offences and the coordinate the cooperation with international agencies in relation to the economic offences. Director of Enforcement, more particularly, talks about the acts which are preventing of money laundering. And the Economic Intelligence Unit, that is principal responsibility, includes the established under the Ministry of Finance to facilitate the coordination among the enforcement agencies dealing with economic offences. With this, we have completed the regulatory aspects of this chapter. Very interesting. We cannot go more elaborately, but as a branch manager, little bit whatever required to know is covered under this chapter, which may be helpful for the branch manager. Thank you very much.